Welcome to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. If you're new to the area or only became politically of age in the last 10 years, you may not remember Herb Berkson, but you will find him in the history of Wisconsin and Minnesota. His place in America's political history is secure as the only person to serve as mayor of both Duluth and Superior, an accomplishment that places Berkson, along with Mitt Romney and Sam Houston, in a tiny group of office holders elected in two different states. Berkson was a Superior police officer when he beat three-term incumbent mayor Bruce Hagan in 1987. He served two terms, then crossed the bridge to establish residency in Duluth. There, he was elected to an open mayoral seat in 2003. But before his term was complete, he would receive wider notoriety from having an alcohol-fueled car crash near Spooner. That was followed by other drinking-related convictions after leaving office and ultimately jail time in Wisconsin. Now he's living in Duluth again, and on Indigenous Peoples Day last week, he joined us in our studios. Welcome to Simply Superior. That's our new name of the show. You've been on different incarnations of the show over the years, so you're not a stranger.
It's been a while, but, I left town for 11 years, and I'm back.
Has it been that long?
11 years, yeah.
Well, we'll go back through the history. Tell us what you're doing now.
Well, I'm retired. I get Social Security. I'm looking to volunteer at a homeless shelter. I don't need a job. You know, I just try to do things for people who need help.
Sure. And you just turned 63 recently.
Yeah, 3 weeks ago.
Great. Well, so you are in a pretty unique company. If I were to put out the names, Sam Houston, Mitt Romney, and Herb Berkson, what do they have in common? And then somebody suggested to me Hillary Clinton, too, but I'll get to there's an asterisk on that.
The answer is they all hate Donald Trump.
You know, I don't know about Sam Houston, so, and I don't think we're going to get the chance to ask him, but what they are maybe better known for is, or more documented, is that they served in elected office in two different states. So Sam Houston was the governor of Tennessee and then later a senator from Texas. He was actually president of Texas at one point. And Mitt Romney was governor of Massachusetts and is now currently a senator from Utah. You were, of course, mayor of Superior, two terms, and mayor of Duluth. Do you have any idea if anybody else has served a mayorship like that in, they don't have to be adjacent cities, but in two different states?
I'm the only one, and I'm proud of it.
Okay. Well, you should be. It's a unique company there. The reason I said, by the way, Hillary Clinton.
Well, there's governors and stuff, but I was a mayor.
Well, there aren't too many governors and stuff either. And Hillary is the and stuff because she was First Lady of Arkansas and then Senator from New York. She obviously today is better known for an office she didn't win. So, but First Lady is an elected office, so that really at best is an asterisk. So, and you've had a colorful career. One of the colors I think you're most proud of is pink.
Yes. My best friend is gay. I have a lot of gay friends. And today is Indigenous Peoples Day. I changed that in Duluth. We were the 14th city in the country to change it.
Mm-hmm. We're recording this, by the way. Our conversation here is on Monday, formerly Columbus Day.
It's not Columbus Day. Right. He was a slave trader and a murderer. And I have a lot of Indian friends. It's not okay. So I'm just proud of it.
Mm-hmm. More than your friends, you were the first Duluth mayor and or superior to recognize or proclaim Pride Day. Fill in the blanks for me there.
Yeah. That's where I saw you, was at the reception, the mayor's reception. I'm proud of that, too. I proclaimed it once in Superior and four times in Duluth. I'm very proud of it.
Against a somewhat formidable opposition?
Oh, God, did I get hate calls? Oh, jeez. I got so many hate calls. You know, the homophobes, they called and said I was going to hell. What, because it's okay to be gay? Good Lord, it's okay. I don't watch people in their own bedroom.
What year was it in Superior that you proclaimed it?
1980. Oh, shoot. You're trying my memory now.
Okay, we can look that up.
I'm going to get it. 1980. Okay, you
That's
look
fine.
It up.
We'll look it up.
It's been too long.
Right. So, that was, of course, one accomplishment, even if there are people who don't look at it as an accomplishment. The world has changed greatly since then. I don't know of too many cities, at least in states like Minnesota or Wisconsin, that don't have pride recognition, let alone the fact that gay marriage is a fact in this entire country.
My best friend is married to a man. Mm-hmm. I worked with him as a cop.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
Sure. So that's part of your legacy. There's, of course, the other part of your legacy that maybe people, I'm not going to say overshadows or not, but you know, obviously your first OWI kind of stands out in your career. And I want to get to other things, accomplishments of your career, too. What kind of struck me was when that first accident happened, you had said, I'll never drink again. And although I'm not an expert in this field at all, that immediately struck me as a promise that is very difficult to keep.
I quit for 3 years, and I started again.
Right. Were you surprised yourself, or?
Well, I quit and didn't have anything for 3 years. I drank Diet Coke, and I just got anxious for a beer. That's all I drink is beer.
Mm-hmm.
And water.
And water, right. Are there lessons you would like to impart to others who are struggling with the struggle is the main word here. This is not something that's easy for anybody to do.
Yeah, I just quit. I just live with my dog. It's her and I. We take walks every day. We clean a house. And I don't have a girlfriend, so what the heck?
Well, you've got a faithful dog.
Lucy's a good kid.
There you go. Right. And one thing you said proudly when we were talking about this interview and I was giving you directions, you said you take the bus. So for people who don't do that very much, and for who think that if they, I don't know if you've lost your license or not, but if they do, that that's the end of the world. Again, the cheerfulness with which you said that, I cover transportation in another life of mine. And buses are there for a reason. They're to be ridden, and we need more people on them.
I could drive if I wanted, but I gave my car to my son.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day, he sold it. All my kids owe me money, and what the heck. I'm good. It, you know, I'm just 3 blocks away from happiness. I go down the hill. Tonight, I'm going to go watch the Packers lose. Why not?
3 blocks from happiness. That's great. I probably want to know what that address is. Right?
It's Mitch's in Lincoln Park.
Mm-hmm.
I go down there. I got lots of friends there. I enjoy it. I like talking to friends.
Mm-hmm. But isn't that the atmosphere that you try to stay away from, or how does that work?
Oh, I'm not staying away from it now. I have a beer now and then.
Mm-hmm.
People there call me Herb. instead of Mr. Mayor. I hate being called Mr. Mayor. I'm just Herb.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you've reconciled you've come away from your first pronouncement of never have a drink again, and that, you know, that's an impossible, well, maybe not impossible, but very, very difficult vow to keep, and it isn't that simple.
Yeah, I just, I get anxiety attacks. I get bad ones, and I get prescription drugs to help me, but a beer helps. You know, you drink a beer and it relaxes you. When I get anxiety attacks, my whole body shakes. It's terrible.
Mm-hmm. I think I have to sort of responsibly go back to the driving. You said you can drive,
Yeah, I can. I gave my
should
car
you?
To my son.
Do you think you should?
I gave away my car. Why pay for all that stuff when you can ride the bus for free? I get a monthly card.
Okay.
It's $40, but you get the whole month free.
Right. Are there any restrictions, like an engine lock or interlock device that you're supposed to use?
If I drove, yeah. But
it's a moot point as long as you've got your DTA pass.
You got it right, buddy. Okay. You got it right.
Right, right. Let's go back to some of your accomplishments as mayor of the two cities. Again, in addition to simply the accomplishment of having been mayor, I suppose that's probably the most important question about that. What in the world made you want to run for mayor of Duluth after you were mayor of Superior? And I know it didn't just happen that simply. You were a police officer and then a detective in Superior. You served two terms as mayor. You crossed the border. You had to live in Duluth to run for mayor of Duluth. They may be the Twin Ports, but they do have a bay between them and a river. And then you served as a city councilor. You ran for mayor once and lost, and then you came back a second time. Why? I mean, I suppose I can ask Mitt Romney the same question, but I'm asking
it
you.
It was a plan. I moved to Duluth knowing I was going to run for mayor in Duluth. It took a while, but, you know, I was an underdog, but I won. I beat, I don't know, about eight other people. I'm not sure. I beat a lot of very famous people. What the heck?
Mm-hmm.
I have a picture of election night. It wasn't a bad move. What the heck? I worked on retiree health care. I did some things I'm proud of.
Mm-hmm. And I want to get to retiree health care, but okay. So you crossed the border deliberately. Was not an accident. Before that, Superior, other than proclaiming Pride Day, what are you most proud of? What needed to be done here, and what did you do?
My city planner and I, we had a seven-step plan. We built buildings in downtown Superior. I was after Bruce Hagen.
And before, as it turned out.
Both. You're right.
If you have a distinction of having served in two towns, he's got a distinction of having served two most interesting non-consecutive terms.
Oh, he passed now. I feel bad about that. His wife was always kind to me. I like her. We changed the old grocery store at Belknap and Tower into the library. And we did the senior center. Mm-hmm. We did five other things downtown, but it's too long to explain.
Sure.
It was all good stuff.
The library is there today?
Oh, it's still there, yeah. I went there 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. And Duluth?
Retiree health care.
Mm-hmm.
That cost me getting reelected, but I fixed it. They were $300 million in debt, and The unions just hated me for it.
So I attended the Duluth Superior Area Community Foundation Touchstone Awards the other day, and Sandy Sandbolt was giving a talk.
Oh, Sandy's a good guy. I love Sandy.
Well, there we go. I'm not quite sure. We didn't get into whether or not he loves you, but he talked about retiree health care and his work consulting on part of it. And he lauded or mentioned Don Ness as, at that time, Donnie Ness, because he hadn't shortened his name yet publicly, as a city councilor had alerted, at least in Sandy's telling of the story, various people on the insustain or non-sustainability of the retiree health care debt. And for those who are not quite versed on it, it meant that retirees were promised a certain amount of benefits that they were going to get if they put in years of service to the city, like in any operation. And it turned out that that was not sustainable to the tune of, as you said, $300 million. So a package was worked out. Sandy gives credit to Donnie as a city councilor for pushing this through and said he sort of suggested that he didn't get complete support of the mayor at the time, who he didn't name, which would be the person I'm sitting across from right now. How did that go in Herb Berkson's telling of the story?
That was my plan. Donnie Ness took credit for it when he got elected. It was mine. I put everything in place, and he changed the name so he could take credit for it.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll have to ask him about that. No matter who takes credit for it, and maybe it's not a matter of taking credit for it, it did happen under your administration.
It was $300 million.
Right, which is down to about $100 million today, I understand. Right.
Yeah, I don't know why they bought that movie theater over there. That makes no sense to me.
Oh, the North Shore?
$2 million to buy a theater? That's ridiculous. Why does a city own a movie theater?
To preserve some history. But good questions. You have every right to ask them, and I won't give an opinion one way or the other. But on retiree health care, though, so does that stand out to you? That's one of your proudest moments?
That, and this is going to sound silly, the dog parks.
Okay. There's two of them, I understand.
Oh,
right?
No. There's six or seven of them.
Ah, okay. Okay.
I guess the cozy bar is coming down. I'll be honest, I don't much like Eric Ringsred. He used to own the North Shore.
Mm-hmm.
He owns the cozy, and he's trying to fight demolition, but it looks
And for purposes
ugly.
Of fairness, I would point out whether you like someone or not has nothing to do with your character as a good person or not. Yes.
Well, I don't like Eric, okay.
I mean, you do have to give him credit for trying to preserve things, whether you agree with the way it happened or not.
Okay.
All right. Again, for listeners who may not be aware, the Cozy Bar is in a fairly historic building that has had fires and all sorts of problems. And the bar, when it was operating, was not necessarily the best neighbor for the neighborhood, right across from the Clayton Jackson McGee Memorial. Downtown Duluth.
The Clayton Jackson McGee thing. Oh, that's the best. Henry Banks is a very good friend of mine. Carl Crawford's a good friend.
These are people who, of course, Henry's a former colleague of ours at Wisconsin Public Radio and a co-founder of the memorial.
I
Carl
love
Crawford, an early person on it.
Looking at that place, the old city hall where the guys were hung. Shame on those people. I talk to Henry a lot on Facebook. Okay. And Carl, I bump into Carl now and then.
Right. Well, trying to contain all these years of Duluth's history and your parts in it, I see as this conversation becomes very wide-ranging, is a little bit difficult to do. But if nothing else, it's pretty clear you're in the history books, certainly for your geographic accomplishment, along with Mitt Romney and Sam Houston. Herb Berkson, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate it. Can I call you Rob?
Robin, actually. Yes.
Okay. I'll call you Robin then.
All right. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with Herb Berkson, the only person to serve as mayor of both Superior and Duluth. And a postscript. According to his Facebook post, not long after our interview on October 14th, Berkson said he was beaten by assailants and hospitalized for several days. He also posted yesterday that he was adopting an infant son. In a direct message to me, he confirmed both of those assertions. I was not, however, able to independently verify the adoption with any other source, and Duluth police told me they could not confirm an assault. Coming up.
For me, having kids out on the water is like, in a traditional aspect, like they're part of that story. They're part of harvesting that food that grows on the water.
It was fun after a while because they taught me how to do it right.
Danielle Kading takes us on a trip with members of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa to Pequelon Lake, where youngsters are learning the tradition and technique of harvesting wild rice. But first, was it time to come in from the cold and stay inside? A pair of local event boosters say no way and tell you what to do outside and where after this. Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. Okay, it's time to face the music. You don't need a song to tell you t-shirts and shorts weather is over, though we do have those polar bear people who can't wait to go skinny dipping in Lake Superior in January, right? But for the rest of us, is it time to hibernate until May, June,
no.
Grandma's?
Enjoy the outdoors.
Pshaw, say our guest, one of whom you just heard. Linda Nervick is the publisher of TwinPorts.com and Winter Fun 101, and she even runs her Facebook picture in June wearing a parka and cuddling a Bear Grease puppy. And Nikki Fermakis is with Travel Superior of the Superior Douglas County Area Chamber of Commerce and says there's plenty of fun for the whole family when it is 20 below, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we can't wait and welcome Nikki and Linda.
Thank you for having us.
Hello.
So did you bring a Bear Grease puppy?
I didn't bring a Bear Grease puppy.
That would have been fantastic.
Puppy people love puppies. It's one of those things.
But you did bring a parka, I'm sure. So,
yes. Right. I have a parka in my backseat of my car
already cold,
all times.
Absolutely.
So who knows? It might be one of those warm spells and swells by the time we air. We do record these things ahead of time. And, of course, if you wait 2 days around here, it'll be different. But it could also be colder. So what do we do with the falling temperatures? Just stay inside or no?
No, you celebrate it.
And where do we go to celebrate?
Well, October 25th is starting the North End Day Spooktacular.
The day where it's scheduled to broadcast.
Yep. Yeah. So tonight would be the North End Spooktacular is starting. They're having a drive-in movie tonight at the World of Wheels parking lot. They're going to be airing The Nightmare Before Christmas, which is pretty exciting.
Love that movie.
Right? And then the next day, on Saturday, they'll be doing a parade. They're doing a spooky 5K.
No, wait. So this is a drive-in movie? Let's take it one at a time. Okay, so if it is cold outside, what are you supposed to keep the heat on in your car or freeze?
You know what? I would say that's personal preference. But I would definitely keep the heat on.
Okay, but the window cracked a little?
I maybe just a little bit to hear them.
This is a health warning here.
But yeah, no, it's still pretty cool. It's not very often that you have a drive-in movie happening in our area, so that's wonderful to see.
That's exactly what I'm referring to, right?
Well, right.
Yeah. And it's been safety approved and
yes.
tested. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay, I'll take your word
Radical.
For it.
Radical.
When you drive in, listeners, ask what exactly you should do with your heat.
Okay. Oh, yes, right. Please do.
Okay. And so beyond that, what else do you have?
Oh, well, the Spooktacular continues on into Saturday. They will be having the parade, the Spooktacular parade. They're doing a Nightmare 5K with Grandma's Marathon. So the route's going to be full of spooky surprises.
Where's the route?
The route's on North Tower Avenue, north end of Superior.
Okay, so it's not the grandma's route.
No, it's not the grandma's route, but they are partnering with Grandma's Marathon as part of a Grandma's Marathon's races throughout the year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's really exciting in this new partnership that's happening. So, like
so
I said,
this is a race?
Yeah, it's a 5K that is part of the whole Grandma's Marathon organization. So
you know, well, speaking of runners, we had Mark Stagio on over the summer after the Young Grandma's Weekend, and he's run, as you probably know, 300, 400 marathons, ultra marathons, all kinds of insanely challenging races. And he talked about heat. And I don't know if I asked him about cold. He didn't run Antarctica, so.
You know, unfortunately, I'm not a huge runner, and I have run a 5K before in cold weather like this, and
so
I
I'm
prefer
wondering,
it.
Well, yeah, obviously, the racers do better when it's, well, in the 50-degree range, maybe 60s. I don't know about 20. So is there a limit? Is there a cutoff saying? No?
I have no idea. I still think it's going to be a fantastic race because of the fact you're going to be running around with spooky surprises.
All right. Okay. Well, and dress warmly. Yeah.
There is a race in International Falls called the Freeze Your Gizzard Blizzard Run.
Wonderful
and
it, name.
And that is in all temperatures and sub-zero. So 20 above would probably be tropical.
And this is what you know as the publisher, Linda, of Winter Fun 101.
Yes.
You call this fun, right?
I did the 5K up there, and it was a blast.
And yeah. What was the temperature?
Actually, it was balmy. It was in the 20s, but the next day it went down to -6. But if you look at their historically, or their race historically has dipped into the sub-zero. So it's the Freeze Your Gizzard Blizzard Run.
That's
and
fantastic.
When is that?
That's in International Falls, late January. And you can find all that information on winterfun101.com.
Okay. So what else do you have, Nikki?
Well, they end out the Northland Spooktacular on Saturday with the Poltergeist Pub Crawl, which I'm pretty excited about. So there's like a pumpkin patch and everything else before that, but I would definitely recommend heading down to Superior. It might be cold, but it will be fun.
I have news on something happening. There are flashlight tours at Glen Sheen. And they've done those before, and they're really fun, and it's exciting.
So that's tonight, the 25th?
The 25th, yes.
And
tonight.
Tomorrow.
And tomorrow. Also, keep in mind for the 31st.
So wait a minute. Do they turn off all the lights at Glen Sheen and you just find yourself
with the flashlight
with
tour.
The flashlight, right?
Yes.
And the candlestick?
They don't have the candlestick. They do have candlelight tours in December, which is cool, too.
Okay.
But I noticed...
bring your own flashlight?
They have flashlights for you.
Okay. Rent by the hour?
I do not know.
Oh, I don't know. You better go back and get the information.
You're stumping me here.
Listen, we're seasoned journalists here.
The Glen Sheen is hosting the first time ever trick-or-treating at the mansion, and you're going to be able to go into the main driveway and ring the doorbell and say trick-or-treat.
And who's going to answer?
Well, that'll be a mystery, and it'll be fun to find out.
It would be fun to find out. You know, Fairlawn is doing something similar.
I was going to ask.
Yeah, they have superstition tours on the 29th and the 30th, which is very similar to the flashlight tours, but it's more focusing on the superstitions of Victorian peoples. And they're also doing some trick-or-treating as well, but probably not as cool as ringing Glen Sheen's doorbell.
That is really... exciting.
Wait. You have to be pushing for Superior.
Well, I
Why
know that.
That
I love Fairlawn.
Cool?
Don't get me wrong. And those superstition tours are phenomenal.
With all seriousness, Glen Sheen had a real event there that pretty much described it. But Fairlawn has this reputation for being haunted, even though nothing happened there, right?
No, and then, you know, I would really recommend going on the superstition tour just so you can hear all about that and see... for
We've
yourself,
got to add some
if
sound
it is
effects
spooky.
Here.
Ooh.
And one more time, when is that?
That was the 29th and the 30th at Fairlawn for the Superstition Tours, and I do believe they will be doing trick-or-treating on the 31st as well.
Okay. We are talking to Nikki Firmakis of Travel Superior and Linda Nervig of Winter Fun 101 and a whole bunch of other stuff about what is going on for the whole family or individuals in colder weather, which is what obviously we experience at this time of year. So moving on, that pretty much takes us to what, end of October? What do we have for November?
November.
I hear some gales. Gales usually happen in November,
right?
Yeah, there's
a Gales of November event that happens at the Marine Museum in Duluth. There's wonderful things happening all over in the parks. Now that there's the cycling and snowshoeing, we can take on whatever kind of weather there might be in this area. This entire region is set. And some people disagree with me, but I think snow is gold. It brings people in. It's exciting. It gets people outdoors. I started Winter Fun 101 almost 10 years ago, and I've seen all kinds of winter events pop up. That's how I got to know Nikki, through the Lake Superior Ice Festival, and they do a wonderful job with that.
Right, but you know, winter is not just winter events. There's lots of winter tourism that happens and stuff that pops up around it. There's snowmobiling, there's cross-country skiing events, there's ice fishing events all winter long.
Ice fishing?
Yeah.
We have ice fishing up here?
No.
I didn't know.
Yes, we definitely have ice fishing.
Wait a minute, is that what those people are doing out there?
Oh, man. And if you're like me and you see those ice shacks.
All right, but we're doing this now late fall, early winter, so that doesn't happen yet. No.
You know, it depends. If the ice is thick enough, they'll put the ice shacks out there as soon as possible.
Why do I feel like I have to have a warning label on everything we're saying?
I definitely don't recommend doing it when the ice is thin. Trust me. Yeah. But
is there an official measurement?
I do believe it's something around 10 inches is safe for having an ice shack out there, and 17 inches for having a car.
Hmm.
So you definitely be cautious.
The car is not something I'm going to do anytime. So,
right.
Are you speaking of Lake Superior, or what about do smaller lakes have narrower depths?
Yes. So Lake Nabegaman and Solon Springs St. Croix Lake, for a really good example, have ice fishing tournaments every year. Usually it's later in February, January, but they do have Fisheramas, and the Lions Club puts them on, and it's wonderful. It's good to see people out and enjoying winter, and that's kind of the point, is snow comes and everyone gets really unexcited about it, but there are plenty of people that live here for that reason.
Yes, they are here for the winter, like me.
In other words, they want to be here. No snowboarding.
Well, and I'm going to tell you, baby, I was born
that way. What's
wrong
with Florida? Arizona?
That's a nice break late in the winter, maybe April, go somewhere warm. But, you know, I was born this way. I remember looking out the window and seeing the first snowflakes and just the joy that I would get in my heart for winter.
So what else is on the calendar?
Yep. Well, right. So I have a lot of good memories of working. Small Business Saturday is a really good example. That happens the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Okay.
A lot of small shops get specials together. You go out, you can have hot chocolate, you're walking around, you see snowflakes flying usually. Superior does their Christmas tree lighting on that day. So you can go out, meet Santa, get some hot chocolate. It just brings in all that magic.
Mm-hmm. And now these days with social media, it makes it even more exciting. So I might be out on a Saturday at, let's say, the Winter Village at Glen Sheen, and people, oh, that's right, that's happening.
Wait,
today.
You mean all these people are looking at their phones?
They're all looking at their phones. They're sitting
what
at
kind
home.
Of outdoors activity is
no,
that?
If you're sitting at home, no, they're posting where they are and going live.
Unfortunately, you don't have to post where you are. Google knows.
Google knows, doesn't it?
Yes, but when you work in the industry, we do. We really enjoy it when you post your selfies of enjoying the events that are happening around the area, because we want people to know that you're having fun outdoors and enjoying yourself.
Totally irrelevant, but are people still chasing the Pokemon thing that you can't see?
I have not seen that.
Well, you never could see it anyway because it was invisible, right?
Well, yeah. I have a lot of younger cousins, so yes, I see it quite often.
You do.
And I will see it sometimes when I'm walking around people on their phone. I'm assuming
that's what they're doing. Yes. Very gracious of you to allow that might be what they're doing. Yes. Do we know if there's a weather limit on that? Do not Pokemon chase under 20 degrees below 20?
I think it's all temperatures. I don't think that people are.
I think it's also personal preference.
Yeah, it is.
All right.
It
well, is. Let's stay off the
phones.
If you
want the gold, you get outside.
Right. So you took us through November, or are there any other November activities you want to point out?
Bentleyville will be opening,
of course,
is always exciting. And there's events going on at Spirit Mountain. Hopefully it will be opening. There's the snowmobile, the AMSOIL.
Do you have the opening date, or is
Well, that's all
fluid.
Relative to the weather.
Well, it shouldn't be. If it's fluid, then it doesn't open, right?
Exactly. There's the snowcross, which is always exciting, and that's the first race of the season that they host at Spirit Mountain. And
it's always cool to watch those kind of ice races. The Midwest Ice Racing Association has two races, usually off of Barker's Island in Superior. When the weather cooperates and the ice is thick enough, but it's the coolest thing to go down and just to see them wrapping it up on the ice. It's I love watching
Robin's
that kind of
looking
stuff.
At us like we're nuts.
Or you're chasing Pokemons or something.
Oh,
like
maybe.
That.
There's always pop-up ice events. Last year, there was a couple of very experienced outdoors people that cross-country skied from Knife River to Amnicon. Was it Falls?
I believe so. I'm not really 100% sure, but that was such a cool thing to see.
And then they had, there was ice, but there wasn't snow, so then they were out skating. They found a shipwreck because of the ice 1 year.
And where is this again?
Lake Superior, right on the lake.
Right.
So
okay.
The little pop-up things happen. So, you know, stay tuned to our
social. Well, and it's always cool to go down to Wisconsin Point to see where the ice builds up, you know, throughout the entire winter. Usually at the very end is where it's the coolest and it's the tallest. But no matter what time you go, you can see really cool ice formations and just enjoy winter.
Well, I could ask you, knowing perfectly well that you can't answer the question, but are we going to have ice caves this year?
You know,
we are due.
We're due. But you're wishing a polar vortex onto us, so.
When you say we're due, you mean that, how long has it been?
2014 was the last year they were officially opened.
Mm-hmm. And that's right here in this region. There are some ice caves that open in other areas of Lake Superior.
Mm-hmm. Such as?
Pictured Rocks.
Which is where?
Oh, that's Munising, Michigan, about 4.5 hours
mm-hmm.
due east if you're, you know, really excited to see the ice caves.
Well, a lot of people were, as you said, in 2014.
Oh,
it was
right.
Huge.
Yeah,
right?
It was. We had full hotels from Superior all the way through Ashland for over a month. It mm-hmm. was fantastic. And it was cool to see people coming from all over the country in the middle of a polar vortex to walk a mile and a half out onto the ice.
Well, we've got the best polar vortex in the country here.
Right,
so
we do
why
better
wouldn't
than
they?
Anyone else.
want to see
and
that.
And there's always dog sledding that is taking place. That's another really exciting thing. Not just Bear Grease.
Right.
There's races such as the Apostle Islands sled dog race. Ely has
which
a race.
It's a bunch of races, as I understand, right? It's there's shorter ones.
There are shorter
kind of heats, if you will, or one could treat them as heats, I guess, for Bear Grease or Iditarod or something.
They have different classes, so it would be like an 8-dog class. Some are a 10-dog class. There's different mileage races. There's such a thing as a long distance race. There's also sprint racing that goes on. There is something going on every weekend in the mushing world.
And what time period is this?
Early January is the Gunflint Mail Run, which is on the North Shore on the Gunflint Trail.
Okay. Well, reviewing, going back to this week and the month or two to come, what are, once again, the highlights? What are the ones you're going to, each of you?
Well, I definitely am going to try to hit up University of Wisconsin-Superior when they do some of their jazz events or jazz music events. They do a lot of music leading up to the Christmas season. They do a wonderful choir showcase at Christ Cathedral King Church. It's just gorgeous.
These are not outdoor concerts.
No, they're not outdoors. But, you know, not everything that's fun to do in the area is outdoors during
true.
The winter. So the concert series that the university puts together, and then there's also like the Superior Singers and some of the other events that the churches put on for music is just phenomenal at this time of year. You just hear beautiful music.
And outdoors, the Fairlawn events sound like something you wanted to go to.
Oh, yeah. I look forward to doing the Superstition Tour. I am definitely going to be at the North End Spooktacular event. I will be volunteering. Come say hi to me.
Okay, great. And Linda, what do you want to make sure you hit?
I'm going to hit the UMD hockey and football this weekend. There's always fun outdoors and the tailgating at football games.
Well, hockey's indoor and football's outdoor.
Football's outdoor, so I'm going to hit the football.
And we know there's no weather limit, no temperature too low for football. Or is there? I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah. I've been to a Packers game at negative 10 degree start time, so I can't say that.
Right, and remember when the Vikings were playing at the U of M stadium and the ground froze. Right?
Their final game was super cold.
Right.
So I don't think there's a temperature limit on football at
toughen
all.
Toughen up, people. Yeah. Get outside and quit whining. Get outdoors.
All right. Okay. Well, we've been talking to Nikki Fermakis of Travel Superior and Linda Nervick of Winter Fun 101, both of whom say there's no reason to stay indoors for the next couple months, no matter how cold it is. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up.
For me, having kids out on the water is like, in a traditional aspect, like they're part of that story. They're part of harvesting that food that grows on the water.
A visit with the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa as the process and tradition of harvesting wild rice is passed to a new generation. Plus, our weekly roundup of the region's news. Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and with me in the studio is Danielle Kading. Hello, Danny.
Hi, Robin.
Who brings us this week's roundup of regional news. And before you do, you had a piece recently about the Fairlawn Mansion Ghost Tour.
I did.
Yep. Are you taking their Superstition Tour next week or hitting all those other fun things to do?
You know, I don't think I will be. I've just kind of been focused on decorating my own home.
And getting ready for ice fishing?
It's been a long time since I've
good
been
answer.
Ice fishing.
Yes. And you're still here to tell us about it. Or tell us what you're not doing.
Right.
All right. Well, then what's in the news?
Well, Vice President Mike Pence paid Wisconsin a visit to promote President Trump's pending trade agreement with Mexico and Canada. Alana Watson brings us that story.
The United States-Mexico-Canada agreement has already been signed by leaders of all three countries, but still needs to be approved by U.S. Congress and the Canadian Parliament. It would replace the North American Free Trade Agreement that was passed in 1994. Pence said during his speech in Pleasant Prairie that the new trade deal would bring over 170,000 new jobs across the country.
Wisconsin's top two export markets are actually Canada and Mexico. So do the math, everybody. The USMCA is a win for Wisconsin and a win for America.
Pence said he would like the USMCA to be approved by the end of the year. Alana Watson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A Senate committee took up a bipartisan bill this week that would make it a felony to trespass or damage oil and gas pipelines. The bill expands on a 2015 law that made it a felony to trespass or cause damage to a utility provider. People found guilty could face up to a $10,000 fine or 6 years in prison. The Sierra Club's Elizabeth Ward says the bill will have a chilling effect on free speech.
These bills, which have been popping up all over the country, came out kind of as a result of the Standing Rock protests and really an effort to scare people not to protest.
But Green Bay Republican Representative David Steffen says the bill is necessary to protect critical infrastructure.
Individuals still have the right to picket and protest, but just like in any other type of environment, it can't be on someone else's land, and it certainly can't be damaging to someone else's property.
Multiple groups support the bill, saying it protects workers from violence. Scott Manley is with Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce.
What this bill is really about is sending a message that says, we're not going to tolerate people breaking the law and depriving people of energy in Wisconsin.
Bad River tribal elder Joe Rowe Sr. says he's dead set against the bill.
We've been hunting and gathering on those power lines and pipelines Now, if somebody was out there with a rifle deer hunting, are they going to get arrested and convicted of a felony for trespassing on that land?
Bill sponsors say that's not the intent of the bill. Co-sponsor Mason Democratic State Senator Janet Buley says she signed on to the bill after a request from labor unions. She says several exemptions in the bill, including the right to lawfully exercise free speech, make it less likely anyone would be charged with a felony. Communities on the Bayfield Peninsula urged the Public Service Commission to approve a proposed power line that follows an existing route at a public hearing on Tuesday night. A company owned by XL Energy has proposed two routes for a new line to strengthen power in the area. Parts of the transmission line that powers the region now are more than 50 years old. Bayfield County Board member Jeff Silbert says the existing route, otherwise known as the East Route, would impact less county forest land.
Forestry is a very important economic driver in Bayfield County. We have revenues of $3 to $5 million a year for the last 8 years. We don't want to lose acreage if we don't have to.
Town of Bayfield Planning Commission Chair Jack Bagan fears another route would be an eyesore for the area's tourism economy.
Tourists are fickle, and they'll choose to perhaps spend their money elsewhere.
XL's permitting lead, Alan Heine, says they're open to building either route.
They both have pros and cons, and we definitely went back to the drawing board and based on public feedback to come up with a way to do the east route.
The east route would be more expensive for the utility at roughly $35 million. XL hopes to begin construction in 2020. Wild rice, or Manoman, is a staple food among Ojibwe tribes that lies at the center of their history on the shores of Lake Superior. For generations, tribal members have harvested this food that grows on water. About a month ago, members of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa made the trek to Pequawong Lake in northern Wisconsin to pass on the tradition to tribal youth. Bad River Tribal Elder Star Ames is shaving a piece of cedar wood to make knocking sticks that are used to harvest wild rice. As a kid, Ames would go out with her brother in black-bottom ricing boats to gather rice for processing. They would lay it out to dry and parch it in a cast-iron cauldron over a wood fire. Then they would dance the rice, using their feet to loosen the hulls. Now, around 20 youth from Bad River are harvesting wild rice on this off-reservation lake.
Most of the kids, I think, nowadays have had a chance to participate in the processing of the rice. This is the first time that they've been out on the water getting it themselves.
Bad River tribal members and guides are giving kids a tutorial before they head out on the water. 17-year-old Creighton Wolf is one of a few here who have been ricing before. She's chairwoman of the Bad River Youth Council.
When you go out in the boat, you're going to have two knockers, and you're going to bring, it's like you bring the rice down with one, and then with the other knocker, you're going to kind of scrape it down into your boat.
She first learned how to harvest wild rice with her mom and grandpa in the Bad River Cahcagan Sloughs when she was 10 years old.
At first, I was all scared of the bugs, but it was fun after a while because they taught me how to do it right, and seeing them doing it and like having it pass on to generation so I can pass it on to my kids, that'll be a cool thing.
Here we go. We're launching.
Older kids who have gone ricing before pair up with those who are doing it for the first time. They paddle into wild rice beds, pulling plants toward them and knocking wild rice into their canoes. Bad River tribal member Faye Madej says it's important to connect tribal youth to this part of their history.
Anishinaabe at one time lived on like the east coast of the United States, and we are told to follow the mega shell to the place where the food grows on the water, and it was Manilin Island. And for me, having kids out on the water is like, in a traditional aspect, like they're part of that story. They're part of harvesting that food that grows on the water.
The tradition has been passed down from generation to generation, despite decades of pressure to adopt mainstream American culture. 17-year-old Lauren Nellis says he harvests wild rice for his family and his grandmother, who can no longer do it on her own.
I think it's important to gather rice for, like, we have these ceremonial feasts, sobriety feasts, sometimes for our funerals and just a social gathering.
He learned how to gather rice in the 7th grade through Ojibwe school, but he fears the tradition is at risk of being lost among younger generations.
All these kids addicted to something, and they want to do something else other than learn about what to do with their rice, what to do with their culture, what to do with their tribe.
He says some are addicted to nicotine, some are glued to their smartphones or video games. Wolf says others party and do drugs. Lori Lemieux is the Indigenous Arts and Sciences Coordinator with the Bad River Education Department. She says tying youth to their culture is also a form of intervention and prevention for the tribe.
Our community is suffering from different epidemics, just like the rest of America. And this is our goal, this is our tactic and strategy, is to go back to pick up those bundles that were maybe left along the way.
Lemieux says sharing their knowledge with tribal youth ensures they'll be able to carry it forward to the next 7 generations.
Well, that sounds like it was a wonderful experience. Thank you, Danny.
Thanks, Robin.
And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. Next week, if you heard WPR's podcast about high-speed rail in southern Wisconsin, what about the train to the Twin Cities from the Twin Ports? We'll be joined by experts for an update on the project and what might be a superior choice by running it from Superior rather than Duluth. Until then, stay warm so you won't have to sing along with this song by Judas Priest.